At a dance here last evening who attended, it was a great party. Young people were dancing most of the time, some of us old folks once in a while. So we thoroughly enjoyed that. It's quite a bit of work for the house crew to take this room all apart, put down dance floor, put down tables. Then after we're done at 10:30, take it all apart and put it back together for us this morning. So we really appreciate all of their help as well. We're going to be having a sermon, or a split sermon today. First message is going to be brought to us by an elder from the Loveland congregation, and he's also the conference planner, I believe is the correct. Nope, he's going to correct me on that one because I muffed it. Mr. Charles Mollier.
Well, good morning, everybody. That is correct. I am the conference planner for the United Church of God. Well, hope everybody is enjoying your stay here and at the Steamboat Grand Resort. Haven't heard any specific complaints yet in that light. There is some good news. If those who are going back to your local area, spread the word. We did sign a three-year contract with the Steamboat Grand Resort, so we'll be here for 2003, 4, and 5. And part of the good news is we were able to maintain the same prices all 3 years, so whatever we're paying this year in 2005, the same rates will apply for the housing. You know, actually, that's good news because when we came to the Steamboat Grand, part of the incentive was to match the prices that we were paying in Keystone, and when we moved from Keystone, part of the incentive was to match the prices from Breckenridge. So the church is basically, and God's been able to provide housing for the Colorado Feast Site for basically without inflation for 5 consecutive years before it's over. I think that'll be a great opportunity for members. Now, I talked to this lady last night. I met her. This was actually her third feast site, or first time to come to the feast. Now, as I look out across this audience, I know there are many people here who precede 1986. You go back a number of years to attending the festival. So I'd like to ask this question. How many have heard personally Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong with the introduction question say, "Why are we here?" How many personally heard that? Wow, that's amazing. Now, do you know what one of the introduction questions will be at the beginning of the millennium? Now, this question might be asked by you to another person, or this introduction question might be asked directly to you. Instead of the question, why are we here, they might say, why are you here? What are you doing here? Excuse me, now, how did you get here in the kingdom? Now, it's very possible when we see somebody in the kingdom for the first time, you know, they might be thinking of that parable in Matthew 22 of the wedding supper. And they say, you know, one of the guests showed up in an inappropriate garment, and, you know, they're not even supposed to be here. So hopefully that won't be the case. But can you imagine the conversation between two people not expecting to see each other in the kingdom? You know, the first guy says, what are you doing here? Second person says, what do you mean, what am I doing here? What are you doing here? Hey, I ask you first. Now, do you see where I'm going? There might just be some surprises at the first resurrection. And are you prepared for those surprises? And actually, if we are not prepared for these surprises, we won't even be there ourselves. You know, we are here in the present dealing with reality. But the future unseen spiritual realm is also reality. And that is what I'm going to talk about today. Two different realities that we might encounter at the beginning of the kingdom. Now, before we discuss this surprise that we might have at seeing someone who is there or somebody being surprised at us being there individually, let us consider another reality that I'm not too excited about. God talks about rewards according to works. And I'm not so sure that I'm looking forward to that because I know I could be doing better. In some cases, we might not only be surprised to see somebody in the kingdom, but we might be surprised precisely on how God judged them. And so this is the first potential surprise that I want to discuss. We will see each other as God has judged us. We will see each other as God has judged us. Now, let's say you run into somebody from your local congregation, somebody you know pretty well. And obviously, there's going to be great joy, rejoicing, and jubilation. As you're talking to the person, you go, "Wow, you have 10 cities to serve? Great, congratulations. When you have some free time, come on down and see my 5 cities." Now, we're just down the road. Now, my 5 cities aren't as nice as your 10 cities. You know, we're doing some remodeling and upgrading. But, privately, you might be thinking, "Wow, from my flawed human perspective, I thought this guy was a carnal fringe member. And I definitely saw myself as being more spiritual than them." Surprise! We must realize people do change over the years. We better be changing. Now, how can we be led by God and not change for the better? The point I'm making is that God ultimately is the true and righteous judge. A reality is that we will see everybody as God viewed them and not our own limited perspective. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24. This scripture is future reality. 1 Timothy 5, verse 24 reads, "Some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men follow later." Some people's sins are clearly evident. And if you want your sins to be clearly evident, then go into politics and allow the press to scrutinize your past and present life. We have learned a lot about Arnold Schwarzenegger's last 25 years because he ran as the governor of California. If you want your sins to be clearly evident, then become a national sports figure like Kobe Bryant. We all know clearly the evident sins of Adolf Hitler. Well documented are the atrocities of the Russian dictator Joseph Stalin during World War II. These men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to the judgment. It says, but those of some men follow later. Later when? Later at the resurrection, when we find out that this apparent